Good morning, Nashville. Happy Black Friday. Four's Company with you, a special edition of the show from 6 to 8 a.m. If you're looking for Robbie and Rex Road, don't worry. They're coming up after us from 8 to 10. Got a lot to get to on the show today. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you until 8 a.m. Guys, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you guys had a great day yesterday.
I did. Sort of. We'll get to it.
It was swell. It was swell. Happy Thanksgiving to you all as well.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Yes. Hope it was a good one for everyone out there. And let us know out there if you had a great Thanksgiving or what you're what you're up to on Black Friday today. If you're out there shopping this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, our text line, and phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's get right into our headlines here this morning. Let's start with Jake Wallman. Lead us off.
Surprise. Putting me on the spot here.
Swerving.
So I don't know if you saw, Kenny Dillingham obviously met his contract goal last week of 9 wins, so he gets a $200,000 bonus. He told all of his assistants that they will be also receiving a bonus somewhere of $5,000 to $10,000. What they didn't tell him, what he didn't tell him, is that he will be giving them his bonus. So he doesn't get the bonus. The assistants get to enjoy his bonus. Some things are just bigger.
He's a likable guy.
He is a likable guy.
I like him.
I do like him. And I'm rooting for ASU to make a little run here.
I am.
And things got a little bit easier for him yesterday because there was the... We're going to talk about college football playoff chaos scenarios coming up in the next segment. But there was a chaos scenario of what if Tulane and Boise State ended up ranked higher than the Big 12 champion, and the Big 12 just got left completely out of the playoff. Tulane ended any mystery around that last night, losing to Memphis.
Mm. Can you? How would that work? Like,
well, it's only it's the top five conference champions. It doesn't matter if they're Power Four or not. So let's say it was SEC, Big Ten, ACC, Mountain West, and the American. If Tulane was ranked 15th and Arizona State or BYU was ranked 16th, then boom.
That would explain
why Big 12 teams in the playoff.
That would explain why Marshall is a top four seed in my game.
Yeah. Coach Lyman has lost to South Florida before. It happens.
In the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a rough one. That was a rough one. Yeah, so no chaos scenario there. So if Arizona State, I believe Arizona State controls its own destiny to get to the Big 12 championship game, as does Iowa State.
Yes.
It's kind of a mess over there in the Big 12.
It's wild.
But like, if either one of those teams lose and BYU wins, BYU gets in, and then I think Colorado needs some more help if they want to get into the Big 12 championship game.
They're not.
But all four of those teams are technically still alive to get into the Big 12 championship game and get into the college football playoff.
I can't wait to see The Undertaker at the Big 12 championship game. Because you know WWE and the Big 12 are...
They do.
Right.
It's like a business deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so we'll see. Chaos scenario, we'll talk about that in the next segment as we get into some college football. Nick Frazier, what is your headline this morning?
Man, I was hoping you'd take me last, but it's all right. Let's see. I can't really think of much. Oh, yes, I can. The World Grand Slam of Darts.
Yes.
It starts November, let's see, no, it starts in December, December 15th.
Well, there's only 2 days of November left.
Yeah,
so
I just forgot.
I can't believe that you've gotten darts two weeks in a row.
Yeah. It's like me outwardly asking for money on the air.
Right. Well, yeah. Two weeks back-to-back weeks.
Can we make it three today?
We're going to fix that. I will say, I had a dartboard as a kid, and for some reason I can't find it anymore. So my brother, who has a roommate of his, brought over the dartboard. I put it in the garage. Was playing darts the other day. I hit a double three, which is kind of tough. Anything double on the board and triple is very tough. Hit a double three to win out. It was incredible.
Wow.
It's incredible. But yeah, that's my highlight, is some professional darts on the horizon. It's like basically the World Cup of darts.
Wow.
In a roundabout way. There's like 64 to 70 people playing. It's a big bracket.
USA.
There's like one or two in there, I think.
So what you're saying is if someone is Black Friday shopping right now and has a bit of time, could they swing by the station and drop off a dartboard?
Sure.
So we can play.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I'd love to play.
You would be very frustrated, but yes. That's how I am every time.
You don't trust my hand-eye coordination?
Oh, I trust it. It's just every time you try to throw a dart at the board, you're just thinking, it's going to hit a triple 20. And it goes in.
Yeah, no, it's much harder than it looks.
Jake Lyman in the eye.
I hope not.
I knew a guy in grade school. He had to wear an eye patch. Oh. Yeah, it's not good.
Arg.
Yeah. I played a lot of darts in college. I feel like I'm half decent at darts.
You look like you'd be good at darts.
I wouldn't be in the Darts World Grand Prix or whatever it is.
The GDC. Okay. Grand Slam. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
The GDC.
The World Championship of Darts, yeah.
To speak Oh, sorry, Jake.
No, I was just going to ask Nick. So is this like your sports calendar? Like for most people, it's like football and baseball. For you, it's rugby and darts.
Yeah, I was talking to Chase about this the other day. The obscure sports schedule for me goes start of, January, February, March, April. Yeah, so start of March, NRL rugby starts, and it goes all the way through till October. And so after that, as that's going on, I follow along with baseball. Baseball's my thing. Then after baseball starts, I dabble and watch golf from time to time. Scotty Scheffler's an absolute spectacle to watch. And then after that, we're back at darts. Darts is all year long, 24/7.
But notice no mention of football, basketball, or hockey.
None of the major
sports. None of that.
I started off with obscure
sports. He did have baseball.
Sports.
Speaking of golf, quickly, not my headline. Have you guys seen Bryson DeChambeau's series to hit a hole-in-one over his house?
I did see that, yes.
It was really fun. Like, I enjoyed watching that, and it was cool to finally see it go in the other day, if you haven't seen that.
How many strokes did it take him?
It was on
16.
So almost 16. 2 weeks of trying.
Way to go, Bryson.
Connor Newt, what is your headline this morning?
Well, I promised you guys to watch a movie. We've been talking about it, the other guys. You guys quote it all the time. I finally watched it the other day, and I promised when I watched it, I would come back here with a review. So I have my review. I'm going to give it a 9.5 out of 10.
You can't do. How many booms does it get?
It gets 5 on the boom meter.
5 on the boom meter, okay.
I'm not going to list off the booms because it's 6:08 in the morning, and I don't think people want to hear that. But it's great. Like, I'm still rolling off quotes from it. Jake, you're right when you say it's the most quotable movie of the last 20 years.
Yeah, like it's not up there all time with some of like the classics of like, you know, Ferris Bueller, Caddyshack, and like all of those from like 70s and 80s. But over the last 20 years, I think it is the most quotable movie. Like we spent 5 minutes before we went on air just listing off quotes from the movie. So
and
funny.
And we still have more.
We do.
We can't list half of them here on the air.
Yeah, not on the air. But most of them are not FCC safe.
No, most of them. But
great movie.
I mean, we got into this just because we were talking about our favorite Will Ferrell characters.
Which I don't know how that came up.
Because somebody listed Jackie Moon as their favorite.
That's me.
Of all. Yes, yeah, you did. I was like, they were at the board. It was either you, Jake, or Parker. Yeah, you said Jackie Moon was one of your favorite athletes
That's right.
of all time.
That's right.
And smart. We went into favorite Will Ferrell characters. That's a good one.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it the other guys or Step Brothers is like the peak Will Ferrell movie?
I mean, those
are the two.
Those
are the two. I'd put Ricky Bobby up there as well.
Yeah, Talladega.
Honorable mention for sure.
I mean, today is the official start of Christmas season. Elf, Buddy the Elf should be up there as well.
Like, yes.
Great movie.
It's not his number one character, but I think it's top five.
Ron Burgundy's good.
Ron Burgundy's up there.
A sneaky good movie that he does is Kicking and Screaming.
Yes, that's a great one.
That one's
Mike
funny.
Ditka. Yeah. that is a
juice
funny
box
one, too.
Guy. Hey, juice box guy, give me a juice box.
That is a good one.
Do you know who you're talking to? Yeah, that's a good one. I said that we were going to do a question of the day, a favorite Adam Sandler character. We'll have to push that off. I don't think we have time for that today, but we will do that at some point.
We'll be here another hour.
I'll quickly do my headline. Do you want basketball or football? I've got two.
You know my answer.
This is going to be basketball.
You want basketball?
Yeah.
You get two headlines.
We're going to go back. The football one, I'll just say quickly, Matt Eberflus with the worst game management of all time yesterday.
Yes.
We don't have. They were talking about it on ESPN Radio before we came on, so you've heard enough about that. Basketball. I want to know out there, and if you are listening and have thoughts on this, text us, 615-737-1025. You can call us as well. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Does anybody out there care about the NBA Cup? Because I saw there were games on Tuesday, and I think there are more tonight. Like, last year, it felt like there was a little bit of intrigue to it because it was the first one, and it was this shiny new thing of, like, oh, what is this in-season tournament? How is it going to work? And then LeBron won it so that he could forever say, how many NBA cups does Michael Jordan have? But now, does it matter? Does anybody care?
They're sponsored now.
The Emirates NBA
Cup. The Emirates NBA Cup.
Does anybody care? Because I could not care less. The only part of it that I think is cool is that the bonuses that every player on the roster gets. Because for some of those role players, the two-way guys down on the roster, that is a lot of money for them, and it's a big deal. But does anybody really care to watch and, like, follow the standings of the NBA Cup? Maybe I am out of the loop here, but I feel like it gets talked. Jared was talking about this. The NBA gets talked about way more than anybody actually cares about it.
Yes.
And I could not care less who wins the NBA Cup.
We'll get into it later. Obviously, I like college basketball way, way more.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten to where I like the NHL more.
Over college basketball?
No, over the
NBA. Over the NBA.
Oh, I was about to say, wait
no,
a
I'm
minute.
With you. The NBA is my least favorite of the four major sports.
I mean, the Predators are in a, I can't even say rough stretch now anymore because it's
rough season.
It's
so
not
far.
It's not a stretch. It's still a season. Rut. Yeah. It's but I mean I could sit down and watch, you know, Edmonton Oilers play the New York Rangers and watch the whole thing and enjoy it before I watch, you know, the Lakers and the Pistons in the NBA Cup or whatever.
Yeah. And you go watch one of the top key players only drop 2 points. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Not going to watch this.
Yeah. I mean, the playoffs I can get behind a little bit because when the Stars are actually trying to play, like, there's some amazing stuff that happens in the
it's
NBA.
It's too long of a season.
But it's like 82 games when there's load management and, like, the games really don't matter. Like, teams don't try that hard. It's like, all right, let's just be the 5 seed and, like, hope we can sneak in and then we'll turn it on for the playoffs. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Aren't these cup games, aren't they a part of the season? Like, they intertwine them?
The group play games, I think, are regular season games. But then once they get into the bracket, it isn't regular season games. I don't know.
Interesting.
I see people talking about it and tweeting about it, and I'm just like, who cares?
They're trying to model it after the Premier League.
Right. Yeah. Where you have, like, the tournament games mixing in with the regular season.
The EuroLeague does this stuff. And, like, it's great because the fan atmosphere is a lot better. In the NBA, it's...
Are you talking about, like, a UEFA Champions League?
Yeah, but for basketball.
Yeah, the basketball.
The Champions League is good.
Yeah.
I like Champions League.
Yeah, for soccer and basketball. Like, the basketball Champions League, you look at these guys and the crowd's throwing little smoke flares and everybody's jumping up and down. Like, it feels like you're at a soccer match. But then you look and it's basketball on the court and it's solid basketball. Like, it's that Euro-style basketball everybody loves to watch.
Yeah.
Because that's what they have in the Olympics. And then you look at the NBA and it's...
Nobody plays defense.
And let's play church league basketball.
Yeah.
Church league. Yeah.
Again, let us know if you have different thoughts than us, but I think we're all kind of in agreement that the NBA Cup is kind of meh at best. We'll see. Maybe once they get to the bracket, the people will start to care more, and maybe it'll be better basketball, but right now, I do not care. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I mentioned our question of the day, not really a question of the day today, but we want to just hear from you. How was your Thanksgiving? And if you're out Black Friday shopping, I don't know how much the waiting outside a store for Black Friday deals happens anymore. I think that's more of a thing of 5 to 10 years ago. But if you're out waiting outside a store or out shopping, let us know what deals you got. We want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. You can text or call.
And can you spare us anything?
Yeah, anything you want to drop off for us. Again, a dartboard would be appreciated over here at the station.
You can do a cork one. That's fine. Cork or the plastic one. Or.
We'll go or bring us just corks and duct tape. We'll go out in the parking
we'll
lot and play cork ball. You ever play corkball, Frazier?
Yes.
Oh, I love me some corkball.
I have not played corkball.
I'll tell you about it when we come back.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Forest Company, special Black Friday edition, with you till 8 a.m. here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
We can now play Christmas music.
We can. It's Black Friday. It's after we gave Thanksgiving its time. It is now Christmas time.
Also, the song of one of the greatest scenes of Christmas history.
Christmas Vacation. Yes.
My family and I watch this movie every year.
Yep.
And I was telling Connor before you guys got into the studio, there is something new that we see every year in the film that we didn't see the year before. The intricacies, just the intricate details that they put in that film is incredible.
It is one of the most rewatchable films of all time.
Every
like
year.
I will watch Christmas Vacation with my family most of the time every year. Another one, because it's Thanksgiving week, it's a tradition in the Lyman household to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles Thanksgiving. That's another great holiday movie.
I've never seen that movie.
That's great.
We need you to come give us a review.
Yeah. Next week, come give a review on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes, that is a great one. Those aren't pillows. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Forest Company, special Black Friday edition. Again, if you're looking for Robbie and Rex Road, hang out with us. They're coming up at 8 o'clock. You'll still get your Joe and Robbie
later on
today.
If you're looking for Robbie and Rex Road, we're sorry. You're stuck with us.
Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor New, Jake Wallman. Connor, before we get into some college football here, you said you would explain corkball to me.
Oh, yeah, corkball. So corkball is like baseball, but what we used to do is we go to Home Depot or Michael's or something like that and grab these rubber corks, you know?
Yeah.
You know what those look like. Wrap them in duct tape. Then you throw the corks and like play like baseball. And it's like backyard baseball, like, you know, to this tree is a single, to that, you know, whatever is a double and then triple and so on over the fence is a home run. But it's like one swing is a strike.
Okay.
So like, or an out.
An out, okay.
So like if I swing, first strike and miss, one out.
All right. Well, we'll have to play a show game of corkball in the parking lot.
I'll bring the corks next time.
Did you use a broomstick?
No, we use like a Nerf bat.
Gotcha.
Did you guys ever have like the yellow wiffle ball bat, like the super skinny one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, that one. That's a good one. Made sometimes it a little difficult at times.
Sometimes we'd bust out the actual like metal Easton or something.
Oh,
just hammer
dingers.
There was a bat probably during the 90s. It's a blue bat. It was my brother's, but Mark McGuire was the one that advertised this.
Yeah,
it was like the whole barrel was full of like air, compressed air. So every time like a tennis ball or a wiffle ball or whatever hit it, that thing would make a ting and it would literally fly.
I wonder what Mark McGuire did with all that space in his bat.
I don't know. You know, maybe hit a lot of home runs.
Maybe.
You know.
Or maybe hide his steroids there. Anyways, college football.
Let's get into college football. We are not going to spend a whole lot of time on college football today, but tune in tomorrow, our usual time slot at 9 a.m. We will have a 30-minute show leading into Vanderbilt's coverage of the Commodores taking on Tennessee. So we'll have 30 minutes there. We're going to pretty much spend the entire time on college football there. But quickly, want to get Jake Wallman a little pulse check as he prepares for tomorrow's game. How are you feeling for the Vols?
Headlines.
It's winning in. But losing,
you're probably playing. You're probably playing in Memphis in the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody yesterday. It's funny. Tennessee going into the Georgia game, they controlled their own destiny, and then they lose. And then it's like, well, you got to rely on a lot of other people to lose. You know, last week, and of course they get that help. So now they're kind of back to controlling their own destiny, where you just if you win, that's all you got to do. Is you win and you're likely in the playoff. This game reminds me of the 2016 game at Vanderbilt, where if Tennessee had won, I think they would have finished 9-3, and then they were likely a lock for the Sugar Bowl. And of course, Butch Jones and the Vols come to Nashville and they throw up an egg, and it was just a terrible night at First Bank Stadium. But coming in, I feel really good. I think you really got to limit Diego Pavia's chances of making plays, and then you just got to stick to your game of not turning the ball over and relying on Nico to kind of make the plays that he's made all season. And then, of course, Dylan Sampson.
It's going to be a fun one. I'm excited for this one tomorrow. I mean, you know there's going to be plenty of Vols fans over there,
yeah.
But it looks like Vandy fans are going to show up as well. I think it's going to be a really cool atmosphere. 11 a.m. kick on ABC. And, of course, you can listen in right here, 9:30 pregame coverage. And tune in early with us. We'll preview that game and look around the rest of college football as well.
What is an 11 a.m. kick? Tennessee has not kicked off at 11 a.m. all season. So
yeah, it's usually 7 p.m. every night.
Yeah. Sleepy wake-up call for the Vols. You got to wake up. You got to watch out for that.
Yeah.
Set your alarm.
11 a.m. I like it because you get it on national TV, and it's going to be the game of that early window. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Vandy hasn't played at 11 a.m. Since Auburn.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tech.
Yeah, last home game at 11 a.m. was Virginia Tech to open the season. So it's been a while.
And both of those results were a win.
That is true. Vandy is 2-0 in the early time slot this year. Quickly, let's look at the college football playoff rankings. I want to get your guys' thoughts. What is a chaos scenario that the committee does not want? Because the committee wants it to be as cut and dry as possible, that, hey, we got 12 teams, there's not a lot of controversy. I don't know how we get here, but I think the chaos scenario is one that ends with the winner of Clemson and South Carolina getting in.
I was going there.
Like, that is what I want. I want to see South Carolina upset Clemson this week and Shane Beamer get into the playoff at 9-3. How funny would that be?
I mean, talk to Robbie Stanley. He wouldn't. Ugh. Who comes on after us if you're tuning in right now?
Another game that I think I have circled is Georgia Tech and Georgia.
Right.
Yeah, that was one I was thinking of too.
I mean, Georgia Tech's not bad. Haynes King, you kind of saw him come onto the scene against Florida State.
They're a spoiler team.
They are definitely a spoiler team.
And Georgia, they've already locked their place up in the SEC championship.
Right.
So no matter what happens this week, they will have a chance to play for a spot in the playoff. But man, you could make things real interesting if they lost that game. Then you play either Texas or Texas A&M, and that's win or go home for Georgia.
Yeah.
You're either getting a bye or you're not making the playoff at 9-4. SMU, I forget who they play this week, but I don't think it's anybody.
I want them to win
special.
Out. I want them to go undefeated.
If SMU
ACC.
Goes 11-1, I think they're in.
The Ponies get formidable ACC opponent Cal.
Yeah.
Well, known rival.
Cal had a good start to the season. Haven't been as great since. Miami is taking on
Syracuse,
who's dangerous at times this year. If either of those ACC teams lose, it becomes winning in, I think, for them in the ACC championship. If they're 11-1, they're probably in either way. But outside of that, I think that is kind of how it looks right now, is Clemson and South Carolina are playing. They're kind of going to be in that outside looking in, hoping for either Tennessee or Notre Dame to lose this week. Because I think those are the two teams that are playing a team that is capable of beating them on the road. And Notre Dame, yeah, they'd be 10-2, but with that loss to Northern Illinois, I think would keep them out.
Yeah.
There's your spoiler right there. Notre Dame loses to USC.
That would be huge.
I think that's your chaos scenario.
Y'all gonna look at me like I got five different eyeballs on my head here. I'm looking at this Texas A&M game.
Really?
I was about to go
yes.
there.
Yeah.
I think Marcel Reed's got something up his sleeve. The way he plays, it reminds me a lot of like a quick, agile Lamar Jackson at Louisville. Just like he just expands the offense differently. And that's what A&M needs. And I don't think Texas is ready for it.
Yeah, I was about to talk about that Texas A&M game because they have the control of their own destiny to go to the SEC championship, that might be the most chaos we could possibly get, is if they win and upset Georgia, then Texas A&M steals a bid. We've already got the Big 12. They're not going to have one of the top 12 teams in the country, so that's stealing a bid. Boise State, whether you want to call them a top 12 team or not, they're kind of stealing a bid as a Group of Five team. They're not one of the 12 most deserving teams, I think, out of everybody. So that's three. That basically is going to mean that maybe Indiana doesn't get in.
Ooh.
Maybe the
Ooh,
loser of the ACC championship doesn't get in.
I feel like Alabama losing put Indiana back into play. I just feel like that's how
I think
went.
Right now Indiana's in. Right now the ACC champion, or the ACC runner-up is in. But if Texas A&M were to waltz into Atlanta next week and take the SEC championship, I could see one of those teams getting left out. So it's going to be a fun couple of weeks here as we try and sort all of this out. Right now, because Alabama and Ole Miss lost last week and Colorado blew it and BYU blew it, like there is a lot of teams that are kind of finding their way out of the playoff picture, but we saw what happened last week. We could see some more chaos this week. Quickly, before we move on, let's get to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenny the Mailman wants to talk some college football this morning.
Good morning, good friends.
Good morning, Kenny.
Thank y'all for actually showing up and doing a live show. There's some of us out here going to work that really appreciate it. I don't need to hear the highlights from 4 days ago.
Well, appreciate you listening in, Kenny. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
And I also passed a Target and a Walmart on the way to work, and they're both like two-thirds full, the parking lot.
Wow.
So I guess that's still a thing for some people.
All those people going for dartboards, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm predicting an emotional Texas A&M victory Saturday night with them tearing the goalpost down. Every school's got to do that at least once in a season now. But here's the bad thing. It's good. I hate seeing college rematches. I don't like that at all. I did not want Texas and Georgia to have to play again. But the loser of the SEC championship game, and it might happen every year, will be out of the playoffs. So you'll see some teams going, no, you go, I go, no, you go. So I do predict that the loser of Georgia A&M, there's no way they're getting in.
That's a good point, y'all. Have a great day. You too, Kenny. Thanks for calling. Yeah, that's a good point, and we talked about it. The committee is going to have to show a precedent this year of whether they're going to punish teams for losing in their conference championship game. Because that is a big question. Are you going to reward the teams that get there over the teams that don't? Or are you going to punish the team that gets an extra loss because they had to play an extra game?
Yeah. I feel like that depends on the conference.
Right.
Are you going to punish... See, for like the Big 12, I would punish Iowa State for losing,
right,
hypothetically.
Teams that are one-bid leagues like that.
But he's right. The SEC, are you really going to punish Georgia for going 10-3 because they had to play Texas twice?
Right. That's the SEC and the ACC are going to be the two leagues that we're going to get a look at. Because if it's Oregon, Ohio State, both those teams are getting in no matter what. The SEC and the ACC, the committee is going to have to make a decision. Let's say Miami beats SMU. Let's say Georgia beats Texas, or Texas beats Georgia. Are they going to punish Georgia and SMU for making their conference championship game? That they're going to have to decide that coming up in a couple of weeks. And that's going to be one of the big things that we look at when the first 12-team bracket comes out. We're going to talk plenty more college football tomorrow morning, 9 to 9:30 on Four's Company, as we lead you right into Vanderbilt's coverage of the Commodores and the Volunteers over at First Bank Stadium. But we will move on. Coming up next, we're going to talk some Titans. Is Will Levis back? Are the Titans back? A big win in Houston on Sunday to get to their third win of the year. Be sure to tune into 94.9 The Fan today for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores taking on Tennessee Tech at Memorial Gym with a 2 o'clock tip-off. The pregame show starts at 1:30. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. We'll take a quick break. Four's Company back right after this. You're listening to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card is good at the Tanger Outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. Four's Company on this Black Friday morning. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you till 8 a.m. Let's talk some Titans here, gentlemen. Got a big win on Sunday at Houston. And I hate to say it, the tank is over. I don't think that the Titans are going to be picking in the top five anymore, which, again, you love to see the progress from the team. Will Levis has looked good for three straight weeks outside of the pick six on Sunday. And the Titans finally did what they needed to do to get a win over a division rival on the road. You love to see it, but looking at the schedule, I just see no way that the Titans finish with less than five wins. There are some bad teams that they play the rest of the way. I mean, they play the Jaguars twice.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. That could get you to five wins. The Colts aren't very good. The Commanders right now this week, you're playing them at a good time. They haven't been great lately. The Bengals seem to put up 50 points and lose every single week. And then you've got the Texans again at the end of the year.
At home.
I just don't see the Titans finishing in the top five, partially because I think that they are more talented than some of these bad teams. And also, there's just a lot of bad teams in the NFL this year.
Yeah. Well, you got things working in your favor. Like you said, Will Levis is playing probably his best football we've seen him as a Titan.
Yeah.
You've got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine putting up absolute numbers. Get that man in the Pro Bowl.
6 touchdowns.
The Honda Accord, which, by the way, I've been looking at Honda Accords.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
It's a reliable car.
It is.
That was my computer.
It'll run forever.
Hi,
let me make sure I'm muted, too. Yeah, there we go.
Anyways, your defense is not playing horrible either. You got T'Vondre Sweat with a sack, his first career sack the other day.
Big Jeff's playing awesome right now.
Big Jeff is hitting the quarterback like Jared has been complaining he hasn't been doing all year. Look at him now. Your secondary looked solid. Jarvis Brownlee is really coming into his own. Special teams continues to be a struggle. But hey, Cole Anderson said it looked great. Outside of
the kickoff return that led to a touchdown in 13 seconds.
Not sure what game he's watching, but,
don't talk about Brian Callahan's friend like that.
I'm just making a comment.
God.
It's nothing
how dare you.
Out of malice, just saying. You're right about the secondary, though. Jarvis Brownlee's been great.
First career interception.
Yeah, and now that Chidobe Awuzie is designated to return off the IR, he's been practicing. That's pretty good. That shows that they're kind of catching their feet a little bit.
And again, you're still 3-8. It's not like this team is going to come back and be 9-8 and compete for a playoff spot.
Well,
I don't see that happening.
Jake?
No. Stop it.
Don't.
Listen,
not going there.
Just hear me out. Like you said, they're catching Washington at a right time. You said Cincinnati scores 50 points and they somehow lose.
I know. I think they're going to have a chance in every game, but I don't think they're going to win all 6 of them.
Yeah, I'm curious because if Jacksonville beats Houston this week, then I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's something going on here. Maybe this could be the downfall when the Titans.
The South is open.
That's what I'm saying.
It's why.
The AFC South, it's open a little bit. If the Titans go on a little bit of a string of some run, it could get interesting. Very interesting.
It is funny how fast things can flip after just one win. I think the most, the thing that Titans fans should be looking at the rest of the year is just Will Levis.
Yeah.
Can he continue to win some games? Because it was good to see him come through even after the back-breaking disaster pick 6 to put the Texans back on top. He came back. He led them. He made a big play. Chig ended up making most of the play on that touchdown. But
yeah,
he put him in a position to go outrun some people to the end zone. So I think you got to look at Will Levis and hope that the consistency continues to show. Because the Titans probably will still pick in the top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe 12. You can get yourself a more than solid player at
serviceable
that spot.
Player, yeah.
And if you don't have to spend it on a quarterback, it helps you continue to build this roster.
This is what I've been telling people. If you're going to get a mid-round pick, this is the draft to do it.
Yeah.
This draft is not deep, we'll say. I think if Will Levis continues to play the way he's playing, he bought himself another year.
Yeah. And, you mentioned Will Levis, and John McClain was on earlier, I think Wednesday. Let's see, today's Friday. Yeah, Wednesday. Sorry, my days are all jumbled up.
It's early.
But he mentioned about Will Levis, if he ends up continuing to play this well, that he said the Titans may actually have their quarterback of the future. Maybe, Will Levis is actually going to show Titans fans and the organization he is the quarterback.
I think this is what Titans fans expected to see coming into this year. Imagine if you flip his last 3 starts and have them be the first 3 starts of the year. Titans fans would be going crazy Will Levis would be the guy. If he had played the same way he's played against the Chargers, Vikings, and Texans against the Bears, Jets, and Packers. He started off so slow and made so many stupid mistakes that a lot of Titans fans gave up on him.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like they're having to be forced back into believing in him. Imagine if he had just started the season this way. Because this is the most consistent I think we've seen him play throughout his, I guess it's about a year of starts now.
Yeah.
Because last year, you saw the Falcons game, and the Steelers game was solid, and the Dolphins game was good. But he never put a 3-game stretch together like this. This is the most consistent we've seen him play over about a month of time.
Yeah.
If he can keep it going, I can't see the Titans giving up on him after what will be just over 20 starts heading into next year.
And more importantly, they don't give up on their staff. aside from Cole Anderson. That guy's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Titans, I'm going to put out a request.
Don't talk bad about Cole.
Don't talk bad about Brian Callahan's friend.
I'm putting a request out there that the next special teams coordinator for the Titans does not have the initials CA, because it has not worked out the last two.
Yeah.
No Aukerman, no Anderson.
Would you like to be the special teams coordinator?
I mean, if they're having tryouts in the Walmart parking lot, yeah, I'm in.
They're hosting auditions in Home Depot.
I've offered my services on these airwaves before of going one-on-one in practice against Jeffrey Simmons. I've offered one-on-one against other players. Sign me to a 10-day. I can do it.
A 10-day as the special teams coordinator.
I can do it. I'll get this team making sure we get blocks on the returns. We'll be returning two kickoffs by the end of the year.
Titans. I can see Nick Frazier out there running like practice, like special team drills. Like, stay in your lane.
I just imagine you in the old like Forrest Gump helmet.
Yeah, you got the one bar face mask.
One bar, just taking it.
Listen, when I played football, that was what I wanted to do, was just crack heads, man.
Do you have a neck pad too?
No, no neck pad. I didn't have no one bar, but I was on special teams. That's kind of how I got a lot of my reps when I was in high school. I mean, played running back a little bit, fullback.
Grinder.
But, yeah.
You do look like a fullback to me.
Thank you.
And that's not a shot at you.
No, not at all. I could care less about it. But, like, yeah, special teams, you got to pride yourself on stuff like that, because that's how you make your money in the NFL. If you don't have a true spot, you got to find your way on the roster. And I feel like that's what Colt Anderson's missing, is you get a lot of guys that just don't fit his, I guess, not scheme, but his, like, style of special teams, and that's why you're kind of getting a lot of lackluster performances.
Hey, Colt Anderson knows special teams. Look back to his time as a player. Colts Patriots about 10 years ago. Go check out that highlight, and we'll let you know how much Colt Anderson knows special teams.
You mentioned Will Levis real quick. Sorry, Jake. But, you know, like you said, you switched those three games, those are his first three games. Not only is the narrative different on Will Levis, it's also different on Rand Carthon.
Right.
Because, like, everybody was saying, yeah, let Rand cook. Well, people would still be saying, let Rand cook.
I mean, Calvin Ridley looks like a different player over the last month and a half than he did through the first month and a half.
He's playing some good ball, too. Yeah.
And I know that I know L'Jarius Sneed is not the favorite player around Nashville right now, but he is still a very good football player when he's healthy. And I know that there was a lot of concerns when they traded for him of whether he would be healthy, and it's disappointing that he had to go on IR after missing already 5 or 6 weeks already.
Yeah.
But I think, you signed him to a 4-year deal for a reason. It's not just for this season. Let him get healthy, come back next year when you're hoping to be more competitive. I'm not ready to give up on that move yet for the Titans.
That's fair. I'm right there with you. I mean, I don't know. I'm torn in between, because you know where I'm at sitting on Will Levis.
Yeah.
But, like,
by the way, while we're on the Titans, I'm going to use my platform to say this.
Oh, no.
I coined the term Titans going to Titan. If I hear that one more time from Joe or Jared or Joe Dubin without being credited, I'm suing. Well, I'm not going to sue.
I don't think you can threaten legal action on that.
No, I don't think so either.
Just threaten a lunch.
Yeah. I will not bring you anything for lunch.
We have to head to break.
I got to come up with a threat.
We had a down payment on a new car.
I will make you pay for my new car.
We've got to get to break here, Connor, but I will say, I don't think you can. That is public domain.
No, it's not.
There's no trademark on Titans going to Titan. I feel like something like that has been said for years and years and years.
Not out of my mouth. Everything I say is money.
All right. We can get back to this later. We've got to get to a break. Newt's Notes is coming up next here on Forbes Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I am Newt's Notes. In my head, they counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Forgotten. I mean, it's a good one.
The falsetto there.
Yeah.
Well done.
I didn't know your voice could reach that high.
Me neither.
Yeah, have you seen the new Wicked movie yet?
No.
I feel like you could be in it.
I'm kind of sick of it, too, because, like, it's every other commercial.
You know,
Do they have that in 4D?
Show trip to the movie theater?
Yeah, that's what we're doing after this.
I actually did see it. It was really good. We won't get off on a tangent. Forrest Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman. But this segment's all about Connor Newt.
Yeah, you're right, it is. So I want to rip into a certain college basketball coach right now, preferably the one down in Connecticut that coaches the Huskies, Dan Hurley. basically, I'm tired of the crap. It's not cute anymore. What happened with Dan Hurley this week is, I mean, you're seeing the true Dan Hurley. They go into Maui. They lose three straight to three unranked teams, Memphis, Colorado, and Dayton. Dayton blows them out, actually. But that's not the point. The point is, it's never his fault. It's always someone else's fault, and he crashes out on the sideline, and you see his assistant coach holding him back. Then he gets into press conferences, and we think, what's he going to say here? Who's he going to blame? This is an example of Dan Hurley. I think this is the loss to Memphis the first time, but it carried over to other press conferences, and basically he said the same thing.
But I had a lot of issues with what went on out there in the game. That over the back call at that point of the game, there was no attempt to block out. There was a player on Memphis that made a half-ass effort to rebound that basketball, and Liam McNeely high-pointed that rebound. For that call to be made at that point of the game was a complete joke, all right? And then for me, I don't know what happened. I might have lost my balance by the absurdity of the call, or maybe I tripped. But if I made that call at that point, I would have ignored the fact that I was on my back. If I made that call, I would have ignored that. I would have ignored that. That was a major, obviously a major. How you could call that while that game was going on, the way that game was going on, is just beyond me. But I know, I've never seen the one ref before. I didn't even know he was a college ref. And then, you know, I'm familiar with the other two, so I'm not surprised.
Okay, a lot to unpack there. So for context's sake, basically, at the end of that game, they called an over-the-back foul on Liam McNeely on UConn. If you watched the replay, Dan Hurley quite literally puts his hands in the air in anger and falls to the ground on his back. So that's what made me mad right there. I don't really know what happened. I may have tripped.
I lost my balance.
No, you didn't. We know you didn't.
I lost my balance at the absurdity of the call. That's really well done from Dan.
Where I'm going with this is I am tired of ESPN making this to be, it's so cool how passionate he is. He's so cute. It's not. It's annoying. It's disrespectful to the game of basketball.
Childish.
It's so childish. It's like, did you ever see Krzyzewski doing stuff like this?
Nah.
Calipari, maybe. Roy Williams, no. He just had medical problems. But at least him falling down was, you know, I'm going to stop myself right now. But what I'm saying is Dan Hurley, it's not cute. And I'm tired of national media making him out to be cute. It's not. You're not passionate. You just have anger issues. You're just an idiot. And I don't like to call people an idiot on air, but
the way some refs will insert themselves in games, Dan Hurley does that. He's got a problem.
Oh, he's insane. And that was the right call, too. That's the thing. You can't blame refs when it's the right call. I don't blame refs anyway. I've never been a blame the refs guy. But if I'm a coach, let's look at how our team played. You lost three straight. You can't blame the refs for that. You lost three straight. You're probably dropping out of the top 25, if we're being honest, which is insane, going from number two to unranked.
Defending national champions.
Yeah.
Two-time defending national champions.
Just insane.
I will, in his defense, say that this week is probably the worst week of officiating of the entire season. Because
there were some
bad
calls.
Because you have so many tournaments going on. I only got to see one officiating group up close and personal this week, but the trend held that not good. Like, the officiating, at least in my experience the last 3 years around Feast Week tournaments, is the worst you'll see all season. Because there isn't a large pool of officials that are going to be able to go to these 100 different tournament sites. Like, during conference play, you can have ACC and SEC refs kind of bouncing back and forth between, you know, Kentucky, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee.
Yeah.
But during these tournaments, you've got people that have to be in the Bahamas and California, and there's tournaments in Nashville and Florida and all. There's going to be bad refs.
There are.
It happens.
But you can't tack a single play
that was A, the right call.
Right.
Onto a ref.
And then say you fell down.
Yeah, and then say, well, I may have fallen down.
I may
down.
Have lost
it
my
It was
balance.
An accident.
That was legit, like, almost a two-minute ramble of him just saying that he fell down.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. And, like, to your point, Connor, I want to know if Dan Hurley messed up with staying with UConn instead of going to the NBA.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
Go to the Lakers.
Could be the head coach of the Lakers.
I mean, I don't want to say he's an overrated coach because he's won back-to-back national titles. I do think he's been the beneficiary of playing certain teams, like beating San Jose State for his first national title.
San Diego State.
Yes, San Diego. Thank you. Two different schools.
San Diego.
San Diego. Last year, I feel like, was a legit national title. You beat probably the other best team in the nation in Purdue and Zach Edey.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just, if you want to win a game, don't blame the refs. Maybe play some defense. You let a mediocre Memphis team hang close to 100 on you in overtime. I don't know. It's just, I'm tired of the national media fixating on one coach and glorifying absolutely everything he does. It was Krzyzewski before it was Dan Hurley. Now it's Dan Hurley. And I don't know. I don't like the man. I got nothing left to say about him. I kind of just outed him on the air with his ignorant, blatant excuse-making, falling down. And now, I mean, I've got him figured out as a coach. I know what he can do and what he can.
His value had never been higher after last year. Might have been able to cash in at the NBA level.
Let me just say, I'm thankful the Kentucky Wildcats did not get him.
That is true.
Go on Connor's list. I know what Calipari does and Dan Hurley does. Check and
check.
There
we go. We got both of them.
I was told to cope with Pope. Looking pretty good.
Yeah. Kentucky looking solid throughout the first part of this season. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk some more college basketball. You're listening to Forest Company on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.